RJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." That's the reason I call it the Truth Book, by the way. The Bible is not a book that contains truth. It is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Ladies and gentlemen, there's no need for a revision of the Word of God. No need for an update of the Word of God. No need for a different translation of the Word of God. The Word of God stands as it is. Yet we have those today that will deny the truth of the Word of God. The truth is, the words of the secularist George Orwell of years ago, where Orwell made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factually true even today. And yet, according to the survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, deny the validity of the truth of the Word of God. In fact, the survey shows that 55% of the millennials say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Their position is that everyone has their own version of truth. In fact, their statement is precisely this. In that age group, they say each person determines their own version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. You can't bifurcate truth. You can't dissect truth. You can't nuance truth. Truth is either truth or it's not true at all. We find that there is a mindset today that somehow, some way, you can manipulate truth. And I just must say this. You find that in theological circles. You find that in economic circles. You'll find that in political circles. You find that in denominational dogma circles, where there's an argument about truth. There was a major convention, I'll not call the name, just had its annual meeting in the state of Florida, dissecting truth, challenging what is true, having to go back to their rules and regulations and guidelines and explain the scripture and take a stand for their belief, rather than just simply saying the scripture stands for the scripture. We can't modify the scripture. We can't nuance the scripture. We can't somehow, some way, say the scripture's got to be brought up to date. The scripture's always truth. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge every day on this broadcast, that as Christians, we understand the truth, we listen to it, we learn it, love it, seek it, live it, and defend it. And if I might add this little footnote, Charlie Kirk was defending the truth. It cost him his life. That's exactly what Jan Hus was talking about when he said, defend the truth even to death. And as Jan Hus was being burned at the stake, his last words, he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." And I've got good news. That is true today. Truth shall prevail. Ultimately, there are those today that are denying truth and rejecting the truth of the Word of God, rejecting things like the rapture of the church and saying that the Christian will go through the tribulation. Well, truth shall prevail. We're seeing the end. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Listen, find the 295 Beltway, the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road. You'll find on the campus of Tools for Time an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole at Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe every Christian should hear, understand, heed, and apply. Perhaps you've heard this word, this phrase, this statement. What is the mystery of the kingdom? What is the mystery of the kingdom? Now, perhaps you say, well, where does that come from? Well, I'm looking at Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, we're going to examine today, Lord willing and having time. We, Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, and myself, all of us around the round table here today, we're going to be talking about that. And when a parable was given, Jesus speaking, his disciples, after he had given the parable and explained to them, they called Jesus and asked, verse 10 and 11, in chapter 4, I'm picking this out, we'll go back and read the other later. And when he was alone, that's speaking of Jesus, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the mystery of the kingdom of God. In that, we're going to talk about, what is a parable? Why did Jesus teach in parables? What is this parable about? It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the three of the four Gospels. We're going to talk about, what does it mean? Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage, and then we'll introduce our guest today. We'll talk about the subject, bound it about, and open the telephone lines. Invite you to dial the number 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you, your dialogue and discussion. Listen, there's no such thing as a bad question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. If you've got a question in relationship, particularly in relationship to the study that we're doing today, we'd love to hear from you. And don't say, I understand it all. I have had the privilege of standing in the pulpit for some 60-plus years, and I can tell you from experience, the overwhelming majority of you that's listening, you're just like the average audience, the overwhelming majority do not understand this parable that we're going to talk about today. If we could understand this parable, I believe it would make a vast difference in the number of church members that can get saved, that are saved, not just church members. What is the mystery of the kingdom of God? Ladies and gentlemen, often we have our attention focused on the world events, wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, diseases, famines, and earthquakes. And also, ladies and gentlemen, it's not an unusual thing. From day to day, to just struggle with life's needs and life's neglects, and as a result of that, neglecting the Word of God. Many times today, ladies and gentlemen, across the world, I believe there are those that think that they're bound for heaven and they've never been saved. There are a lot of folks today, and perhaps you're one of them, I don't know. You know the heart, and I don't. There are a lot of people today, many that are listening. You're a good church member. You go to church as often as you can. You say that you're saved. You believe that you're saved. But this text has evidence to vivify and to verify and evaluate whether or not you're truly saved. This is the reason Jesus told his disciples, it is about the mystery of the kingdom of God. We'll talk about what is a parable. Why did Jesus preach or teach in parables? What is the mystery of the kingdom of God? And then we'll talk about the context and the text that's found in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter. We'll talk about the seed, the sower, and the 4 types of soil, or dirt, if you will, which is indicative of the heart of an individual. Listen, there are a lot of folks today that when you say, are you saved? They say, well, I hope so. Some that say, you ask the question, are you saved? They say, well, I'm a good church member. Some, you ask the question, they say, well, I'm okay spiritually. Some will say, I'm a good person. Some will say, I believe in God. Some will tell you how much time they spend in church. Matthew 7:23, Jesus, speaking about that very fact, talks about many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, that's the word kurios. Kurios means owner, master, savior. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Etc., etc. Jesus says in the 23rd verse, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a personal first-hand experience with you. Youngblood vernacular, Jesus said, you are not saved. In fact, in that text in Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, I say it's the saddest words in all the Bible. I never knew you. Listen, there's a unit of Scripture that will explain to us what Jesus called the mystery of the kingdom. It's found in the parables of the seed, the sower, and the soil. Mark's Gospel, 4th chapter, verses 1 through 20. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, and the Scripture that we find in chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. It's found in Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 21. And we're going to talk about that today. So first of all, let me say thank you for Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis being here around the table with me today. Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Looking forward to what you have to say, what God's placed on your heart about this subject. What is the mystery of the kingdom? Thank you, Dr. Davis. Say a few words before we get into the text.
Amen. First, I want to thank God for being able to be here with you and Dr. Phelps on today, amen, as usual, on our Friday discussion, amen. And I thank God, amen, for amen, all of my family and friends that are listening on today. Certainly, amen, we want you to listen up and get a for sure, I call it a for sure understanding.
Absolutely.
Of the Scripture, because if you plan on being a part of this kingdom, if you already know that you are a part of this kingdom that we're about to talk about on today, it's the Vasileion, amen, it's the area of the rule of the king, amen. That is God, that is Christ Jesus, amen. One day his kingdom is going to come to this earth, but right now we have to realize that Scripture lets us know that the kingdom of God is already here. Because Jesus warned the disciples in one portion of Scripture not to look around, looking up, looking for the kingdom to come, because he said the kingdom of God is already here. It's in your hearts, amen. So when we come together as believers, amen, we manifest that kingdom to the rest of the lost and dark and dying world on today to let them know that God is real.
Yes.
And if you plan on being a part of this kingdom, then you need to know what's going on in this kingdom. And that's why we are here today.
Amen. Thank you for those brief words. Dr. Phelps, would you do a little introductory thought in relationship to why we're here? What are we doing? Is it needful and necessary for Christians to understand the Scripture?
It is imperative
that we understand, that we receive, and that we really know the truth of the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to say I'm so thankful one day that I heard the glorious gospel of Christ, and according to the Scriptures written by the Apostle Paul in Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13 and 14 tells me that those who are believers, those who hear the word of God and respond by trusting or believing, are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Amen.
So if you're truly saved by faith, then you are part of, and I'm part of, the kingdom today. So when anyone talks about the kingdom, we were talking about that kingdom where Christ is the head, or he's over, and over which he will rule very soon, possibly. Jesus is coming again. But we need to understand how that we can be eligible mm-hmm. for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we're talking about today.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. If someone were to ask you, are you saved? What would you say? What would be the evidence of salvation in your life? I can say from experience, and I can make an application thought based on that, that there are multitudes today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, that I believe is, it's very, very sad, but true, that believe that they're saved because they do good works, because they read the Bible occasionally, because they call on the name of Jesus, and they say that they know him, but actually, deep down, there's never been a transaction bringing from darkness, as Dr. Phelps just spoke of, to the dear light of, to the light of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, today as we're talking about it, I want to ask Dr. Phelps if he would to read the first 10 verses, and then ask Dr. Davis if he would read verses 11 through 20 to set the stage. It's a long unit of thought. We're not going to be able to exegete verse by verse, but we're going to look at the big picture and talk about the subject. What is the mystery of the kingdom? Dr. Phelps, if you would, start reading the first 10. Dr. Davis, read verse 11 through 20.
In Mark.
Mark's Gospel, 4th chapter.
10 through 13. And when he was alone, they that were with him, or about him.
Reading beginning with verse 1 through verse 10.
And he, meaning Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable.
Amen. Dr. Davis?
Verse 11 says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, a wonderful, wonderful unit of thought. By the way, that's very similar in Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 21. It's found also in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Wonderful, wonderful unit of thought. And it's talking about how to perceive, how to understand, how to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is gets on the boat. Now listen, it may or may not have been the case, but there was such a huge crowd there. It said the multitude was there. Megas number of people on the shore. Jesus gets on the boat, pushes off from shore, if you will, and the boat becomes his pulpit as he's speaking to the huge throngs of people that's there. And he is explaining to them about the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he does so in parabolic form. Dr. Phelps, what is a parable?
One definition of the parable could be this, that you have an earthly story that uses things of nature to explain or make understandable things that are spiritual.
Very good. In fact, I have a little note. It conveys truth in an interesting manner. It conveys spiritual truth in such a way that it will cause the lost mind to listen. And thirdly, it conveys spiritual correctiveness for personal rebuke in a way that will bring conviction. Now, Dr. Davis, perhaps the listener is asking this question. I've had people to ask the question, why did Jesus speak in parables? He explains it in the text why he's speaking in parables. Explain that for a moment to our listeners. Perhaps they're asking, why didn't Jesus tell us what you'd call plain talk? Why did he use parabolic communication to speak? Why did Jesus give this lesson that is so vital, so imperative, so important for an individual to understand today? Even his disciples said, Jesus, I don't quite understand what you're saying. So why did Jesus speak in parables?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I have to believe he used that. He was a very wise and smart teacher. He pretty much knew the hearts of all the people in the audience that he was going to be speaking to. And I have to believe, much like it is with us today as ministers of the gospel, when people come to the church, I believe, and this is just my belief, you don't have to believe that, I believe that God sends people to the church with their hearts already prepared to receive something from the message that's being spoken of or taught on that particular day, because of his great already, the knowledge, amen, that he has about mankind and about who's going to be saved. from the foundation of the world, and I believe, you know, John Calvin had some things to say about predestination that he didn't truly understand. But when we fit that into that concept, once again, my belief is, and my thoughts right now are based on that particular definition of predestination, that there are some people that God has already prepared their hearts to receive something from that word. So this is the same reason why I believe that Jesus spoke those parables, because he said, as he began to explain why he taught in the parables, unto you, he was speaking to his people. I'm talking about the people of the kingdom of God. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not. Who are they? That's the unregenerate. That's the ones who are going to continue to reject God. That's the one that's going to continue to live a life that's unrepentant. Mm-hmm. So we face the same thing right now today. A lot of people come to church, I think, right now, just to warm the seats, to sit on the benches, or just to find something new to talk about. That shouldn't be. I always tell people when they come to the church, you should come expecting to receive something.
To hear and to receive from God. Absolutely.
So if you're not expecting, then your coming is just in vain.
Absolutely. And in this context, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, and to our listeners also, I believe Jesus is going back and paraphrasing, almost completely quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah said to God, "Hear my, send me." And then the question is here, verse 8 in Isaiah 6, "And also I heard a voice from the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, Hear my, send me." Verse 9, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their ears, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with the heart, and convert, and be healed. Jesus said in the text that's before us, and ladies and gentlemen, we're in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 20, found also in Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 23, found also in Luke's Gospel 8, 4 through 21. Jesus is speaking in parables, and he's telling his disciples that there's some in this crowd that will understand. There's some in this crowd, as Dr. Davis just said, that's come to hear the gospel, and they want to respond. They want to receive. There's some that's here as gawkers, as naysayers, as disbelievers, as rejectors, that they don't need to understand what I'm saying. Because he says, I'm speaking to you that's part of the kingdom. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those that have said yes to Jesus. He's speaking in retrospect and in introspection, even today. He's speaking to we as believers, that we need to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, if you consider what you just got finished saying, you know, God is not an unrighteous God. He's speaking the word to everybody that's there. So that means he's giving everybody an opportunity to accept the truth about the things pertaining to the kingdom if they want to go in. Now, here's my message, and I always say this to people all the time. If you don't want to go, don't hinder me. It's all about listening, again, and getting the full understanding out of the word, speaking to the salvation of mankind and to the lost condition that you are in right now that you don't have to be in.
Right.
There's something here in this word to help you come out of that condition if you want to be delivered.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the seed, the sower, and the four kinds of soil. And Jesus is explaining the mystery of the kingdom of God through the seed, the sower, and the four soils. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the four types of soil. What type of soil was there? The wayside? The stony ground, the seed that's sown among the thorns, and the good soil. What's the difference? What's Jesus saying? How do we apply it today? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And